When we started doing this podcast and the Instagram page, Lauren had reached out to me to start talking about a lot of the great things that she does for her people. One of the things that she has done recently is partner up with Strack-A-Line. Strack-A-Line is one of the greatest yardage books with the greens that you can read while you're on the course. She reached out to them and they worked out a deal that she can provide her customers and our listeners with a discount code that will get them 20% off their books. And again, that discount code is PATHFORE success. Again, PATHFORE success to get your Strack-A-Line books with a 20% discount.
Welcome, because you are now listening to From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts, bringing you tips, support, and player recognition and education with the experts for parents and junior golfers in Indiana. This is From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts.
We are excited to have Cam Andre from Ball State join us on this podcast. However, I decided that with Lauren's expertise and experience, being a former collegiate coach herself, that she would be the best to interview a lot of the coaches that we're going to bring on the show. So Lauren, thank you for being the host and interviewing Cam. And Cam, thanks for joining the show. And we all know how great of a job you do at the Ball State Women's Golf Program. Thanks to the both of you.
Hi, everyone, and good morning, and welcome to another From the Cart Path podcast. My name is Lauren Smith, and I am joined today by the head coach of the Ball State women's golf team, Cam Andre. It's a pleasure for you to join us today. Thank you.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I've heard a lot about you from a lot of the kids that we work with in Indiana, and one of my first questions to you, I think, you know, every kid that we work with in your area puts Ball State on their list of schools they want to attend. And from your perspective, I think that's probably a great thing. But what do you think you do so well at Ball State for especially the Indiana kids to want to come and play for you?
Boy, that, you know, I think Ball State as a school is probably has a lot to do with it. It's a good school. And when we have people here on campus, almost always they're like, wow, this place is even better than I thought. So I think, you know, just from a campus and an education perspective, we maybe exceed the expectations, and we have really good facilities, golf specific facilities too. I'm sitting in our indoor facility right now and it's beautiful. So I think all of those things we try to do well. And I'm an Indiana kid myself. I grew up in Southern Indiana and I went to Ball State. So it's easy for me to relate to those kids in some ways as a born and raised Hoosier. And so, yeah, and I think if we're going to be successful, we should be recruiting Indiana kids well, and we should be trying to get the best kids in our state year in and year out. We're not going to get all of them, but if we can get a handful of them, I think we'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, definitely. And talking about your time as, you know, growing up in Indiana, tell me a little bit about your coaching journey and what kind of fuels you to be the best head coach that you can be, and kind of where you started from and how you ended up at Ball State.
Yeah, I mean, coaching was not my plan. It just kind of happened for me. I came to Ball State. I tried to walk on to Coach Fleck's team. My first year, I was playing pickup basketball the day before tryouts started and broke my finger. That didn't go very well. The next year, my game was not in nearly good enough shape, and I didn't make the team. But Coach Fleck has been really kind to me since then. And so I graduated from Ball State and started working just up the road at Taylor University, which is a small NAIA school. And I was doing athletic communications the first year, and the men's golf coach, like midway through the year, said, "Hey, I'm going to be done at the end of this year." And the athletic director said, "Well, you play golf. You could probably coach the golf team And I was 23 and didn't know any different. And so I ended up agreeing to do that, having no idea what I was getting into. And I fell in love with what coaching is, which is just, you know, I believe in, I've loved sports my whole life. I played football, basketball, and golf all through high school. And what I love so much about sports is that I think you can learn a lot about yourself and learn a lot about life. And it just, you know, it kind of forces you to face some of the things that otherwise you wouldn't have to face. And so that's what I love about coaching is I get to be part of that journey. I love the 18 to 22 year old window. I think there's so much life to be lived and learned in that window. And so that's really what fuels me. I was at Taylor for 12 years, coached both the men's, started out just the men's coach, and then we started the women's program from scratch. And I coached both teams for the last 7 years. And we had some really good teams, wonderful people on our teams. And so then the opportunity to come back to my alma mater was just too good. And so just finished year three here at Ball State. I love it. And, you know, there's certain elements of Division I athletics that are kind of crazy right now, but at the core of it, it's still just trying to help 18 to 22 year old young people grow into, you know, who they can be, right, and being a vital part of that journey and coming alongside their families and getting to know them and love on them and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think from my time coaching, you basically become family, whether, you know, you're the older brother or the older sister, or mom or dad on campus. And, you know, you become so many things under an umbrella and you really do become like family. And I think, you know, from what I've heard about you, you've obviously created a great culture there. So kudos to you. Switching back to kind of the student athlete portion of it, what qualities do you look for in a student athlete all around? I mean, not obviously you're recruiting them for their golf scores, but what are you really looking for to maintain the culture that you've created at Ball State in a student athlete?
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, there's the golf side of things, which is really important, but you know, I've been having some recruiting calls since we hit June 15. Yeah. And I've been trying to kind of explain maybe what I think makes us a little different than some programs. And I think one of the biggest things is we're not just going to recruit necessarily the best scores or the highest ranked players. We're looking for people that fit holistically who we are as a university and as a program. And so for me, one of those pieces can you be about something bigger than yourself? And do you love being part of that journey with other people? You know, we had a player that won the MAC championship this spring. That's the first time that's happened for Ball State in like over 15 years. And she's a great player, won back in the fall as well. So she's certainly got the game. But I was kind of reflecting, she had some rough times too, where the game just was beating her down. And that's what it does to all of us at some point. And I was reflecting on how her teammates came alongside her in those moments and provided just the right amount of encouragement, just the right amount of love for her to be able to kind of endure and get through it. And I think that's what being part of a team looks like. And that's what we're looking for, players that want to be part of something bigger than themselves. We need players that love the game, because if you just kind of tolerate the game, then this is going to get real old real fast. Yeah. But if you love the game, you love competing, and you love doing it with other people, then those are people that we're going to love having on our team.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, golf is such an individual sport. And I think a lot of times when we create a team culture, at least from my experience, it's, you know, putting the puzzle pieces together and, like you said, finding what fits, and whether that's, you know, from a whole or, you know, individually, what each person can bring to kind of make that puzzle look like we want it to. You know, coaching is unique. And I don't think unless you've done it, you really understand how hard it is to recruit and get those pieces to fit together. So kudos there. Talking about your student athletes and your success, whether individually as a team, what do you focus on, you know, the day-to-day things? I think as golf coaches, it's hard, and you know, it's not like basketball when you can put everyone on the same court and see everyone. You know, do you really let them have individualized practices? Do you work on a team culture and practices? If I were to play for you at Ball State, what's kind of a day at practice going to look like for me?
Well, if you have eligibility left, we'll make it happen right now, Lauren.
we can ask.
I think it's funny because I meet with my players, you know, usually at least once a semester, try to do individual meetings, meet with some of them a lot more often than that. But and I'll ask them things like, what do you like the most about practice? What do you dislike the most about practice? And I'll have a player come in and they'll say, Coach, you know, practice is good, but I would like for there to be a little more structure with what we do. And I'll be like, okay, that's good feedback. I'm writing it down. The next player comes in and they're like, practice is pretty good, but I feel like I need a little more freedom, like a little less, you know, structure in there. I'm like, got it. I'll note it, you know? And so it's really difficult, I think, trying to plan practices in a way that meets everybody's needs. We try to kind of blend it. So we'll give them some assignments, usually like assignments to complete at some point during the week. And there's enough assignments that they probably have something they can do working towards that end every day when they show up to practice. So they don't hopefully show up and not really even know where to start.
Right.
But there's also enough freedom and autonomy built into those times, practice times, where they can go work on what they need to work on specifically and how they need to work on it. And, you know, I've got players that love to hit range balls and they really get comfortable hitting range balls. And I've got one player in particular, I won't throw her under the bus. Nothing to be thrown under the bus under, but her personality is the range is not a good place for her. It's like 15, 30 minutes maximum at the range for her. And after that, we're at the point of diminishing returns. And so I know her well enough now that after we work on something for a little bit, she's trying to find whatever it is. I'll be like, okay, you need to go out on the golf course and actually hit shots and go play and compete. Otherwise you're going to get mad standing here on this driving range. So I think getting to know each player individually and then trying to provide enough structure, but enough freedom that they can do what they want to do, how they want to do it. And then culture is what you do all the time, I think. And so literally from our conversations that are just the way that we talk to each other, when you get to practice, we're going to have a good time and give each other a hard time, but we're, you know, it's never going to push that border of, do they like me or not? No, that's never going to be in question. You're going to know that you're part of us. And so that means we're all for each other. So that's kind of how we handle culture. And we really only, it kind of happens organically if, especially once it's established and you've got players that know what it's about, then you bring in one or two freshmen and it happens organically and you don't even have to, you know, spend a whole lot of concentrated time on it then.
Yeah. And speaking about freshmen, what kind of advice do you give the girls coming into your team about time management and expectations, especially, you know, coming in, usually, you know, we don't have a lot of freshmen that come in because you spread it out. So how do you help them? What advice do you give the freshmen about managing time and your expectations for them, their expectations of themselves? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's once again, I mean, that's a really tough thing and definitely individual. Probably the first thing I tell them is your teammates are your greatest asset right now. They were in your shoes last year, 2 years ago. They know me. They know what you're about to step into. And they also know maybe some of the things that they wish they would have known when they were in your shoes. And so, you know, the first thing that I tell them is, you know, connect with your teammates. And we're intentional about having our upperclassmen and returners do that with the freshmen, but the freshmen have to be receptive to it and ask good questions and listen. And then, you know, I try to just, I'm always kind of trying to reframe their focus. And so I think perspective is actually maybe one of the greatest things that a coach can bring to a student athlete. And so in my mind, it usually looks like you're either doing one of two things. You're either zooming in. And so when they're overwhelmed and they're like, Coach, I have three tests this week and we have to qualify. And I'm like, okay,
I get it. The world was ending. Yeah.
It's stressful. Let's zoom in. I can cut your practice short. Like let's get a good hour and a half in today, but you got to be here right now. So let's zoom in on what we're doing today. Or then the other thing is zooming out. And so they earned their spot in the lineup. For example, we had one freshman this last year. She qualified for our first event over at Purdue. And then she didn't play very well. She actually played really well the first two rounds, and then she didn't play very well the final round. And she's just ticked. And I like that because I know she's an editor and she wants it. But I said, hey, let's zoom out a little bit here and let's look at kind of holistically. You accomplished your goal in qualifying. Your goal coming in was you wanted to be in the lineup, check mark. You played really well your first two tournament rounds as a Division I player.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, you didn't have a great day today, but you're still in. If we zoom out and look at this thing from the proper perspective, there's a lot more to be positive about than negative. And so I think for freshmen especially, that perspective change of either zooming in or zooming out is really, really helpful for them. And if they lean on their teammates for that too, then, you know, they're going to be in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And do you find that when, you know, you get those new kids in and they're young and they're, you know, probably leaving mom and dad for the first time, the amount of time it takes them to adapt? I mean, do you see that with your own program? I know, you know, in my time coaching, depending on where they're coming from, whether internationally, a long distance or locally, it always depended. But how do you manage that too?
Yeah, I think sometimes you think maybe they're doing better than they are because they're trying, you know, it's like fake it till you make it a little bit. And some of that's what you have to do. You just kind of have to put one foot in front of the other. But I try to check in regularly with my freshmen and, you know, I hate having only one freshman in a class, but with roster limits now, you know, that's going to happen at some point. And so we did it last year and we're doing it again this year. But I think it's helpful sometimes to check in for me with their teammates and be like, hey, how's she doing? You know, like you think she's doing all right? And then they know that, hey, we're all going to kind of check in and make sure that things are going well. And I try to also have open lines of communication with mom and dad so that, you know, all of us are looking at this from a little bit different perspective. And so when we piece it all together, we can get a pretty good idea of how they're really doing and maybe where they're missing some pieces, where we can help fill in the gaps and we just go from there. And, you know, so many times freshmen, I tell them actually on the front ends, hey, there's going to be a point in time in the first few weeks when you're going to go, I made a horrible mistake. This is not where I should have come. Like I'm overwhelmed. I don't know that I can do this. And I said, just stick it out. All right. Yeah. Just hang in there and you're going to be fine. Like everybody goes through that. And a lot of times sophomores, they forget about it. And they're like, it was amazing. I was like, yeah, it wasn't amazing at one point. Like you were in my office crying. Do you remember that?
Your first month was terrible.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think if we just, you know, if we're all sticking together and we're trying to get through it together and we're not trying to pretend, then we're in good shape.
And that's true too. I think as a college golf coach or a college coach in general, your number one goal is to graduate the kids. I mean, of course there's so much more than that, but you know, number one, you're like, we're getting academics done here. And speaking of academics, how do you support your student athletes? I always tell the kids we work with, golfers are on the road all the time. And I think, you know, we seem to travel more than any other sport. So how do you, you know, as a head coach, balance academics and golf tournaments and stuff like that? Usually from my experience, especially on the women's side of things, there's usually not a lot of issue, but especially for those incoming freshmen, there's an adjustment period.
Yeah. Well, my team has been incredibly good in the classroom. We had the highest GPA on campus last year. And I joke with them. I'm like, if you guys could see my transcripts from when I was in college, you would realize how little I have to do with any of that. But I think we've created a culture where they understand, you know, the academics are a priority. but also they know that they've got upperclassmen once again that you can rely on and that have been through it. Now, we also have some things in place at Ball State, and I think most institutions do, where our freshmen are in 8 hours a week of required study tables, and it's run by our student athlete academic support folks. And then we're on top of it. Like, I get a report every week on Friday with every player and every class listed, their current grade, notes from their professors, you know, hey, coach, she's doing great, or hey, coach, she struggled in this quiz, we're going to give her another chance at it next week, something like that. But then the other piece that is really helpful for them is if we're encouraging them to be proactive with their communication with their professors. And if you do that, you're going to be in pretty good shape. Now, I'm not saying it's going to not be hard work, because it is right. hard work, you know, yeah. the time management. When we go on the road, you know what it's like, Lauren. Like, you get there Saturday, you travel all day Saturday, you get in, you grab some dinner, and it's like, okay, guys, yeah, we got to leave here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll have the practice round. We'll get in a little practice after the practice round. And then we go Monday, and it's, you know, leave the hotel at 6. You're on the golf course from sun up to sundown.
Literally, yeah.
Tuesday, you're back there for another 8 o'clock shotgun start. And then as soon as it finishes, you're busting it to get to the airport. And so there's not a lot of downtime to work on stuff. So you kind of have to really be strategic and not go, well, I'll get to that eventually. No, you better carve out time for it either before we leave or after we get back, or you're not going to get to it.
Yeah. I think that's especially for the freshmen. I think a lot of the kids that we work with have the fortune to kind of roll through high school. And I think for the kids we talk to, the time management portion of the jump to college is one of the biggest things. Like, obviously the competition is going to get better and you're going to see more, you know, competitive scores and stuff like that. But, you know, kind of handing them the keys and ownership to what they're doing. You know, you're not going to have mom and dad over your shoulder saying, hey, you need to get that paper done. It's time to get that paper done. No, mom and dad don't know when the paper's done anymore. So, it's great that, you know, Ball State, you have that communication, you know, pipeline, because I think that, especially, you know, from what I've experienced, it helps keep a culture and keep those, you know, keep them accountable for what they're doing. And obviously they want to own up to it. And obviously your team's doing a great job. So a unique question. And I think as golfers, we all know that we lose more than we win. But how do you measure success beyond just wins and golf scores?
Yeah, that's good. One of the ways that I measure success, you know, when players get to me, and if we've recruited the right players, they are super passionate about the game.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I measure success over the course of a career is, are they still as passionate, or do they still love golf as much at the end of their career as they did at the beginning? Yeah. And that passion may look a little different, you know, and the love for the game may look a little different, because when you're trying to get recruited and you're excited about competing and playing, that's one thing. And then you kind of reach the end of your career and maybe you're not, you know, going to play professional golf. So competing at a high level isn't maybe where the passion is, but you still have a love for the game and a love for what it's appreciation for what the game has given to you. But you see sometimes where, you know, it kind of beats you down. Yeah. And then you see players sometimes get to the end and they're like, I'm just ready to be done. And so I would love to see our players still love the game at the end like they do at the beginning. I think, you know, your passion for the game is a God-given thing. And I hope to be a good steward of your passion as your coach. I think the other thing is, If we get to the end of this thing and we just have genuine love for each other, care for each other, and, you know, they can say, hey, coach pushed me. He wasn't always easy, but I always knew he cared about me. Yeah. That would be another thing that would be really important to me. And then, you know, it doesn't always work this way, because the game is cyclical and you're going to have good times when you know, I tell them, when you're playing well, you feel like you'll never play poorly again because the game's coming easy. And when you play poorly, you are like, this club feels foreign in my hands.
Yeah.
And you're never too far away from either direction, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, I would love to see them feel like they have a better understanding of their game and what it takes to go post a good score. And hopefully they've made a little bit of progress towards that each year. And so those are the things we're looking at. The wins and the losses, you know, those hopefully they come, but you can't play defense either. So it's like you can go do your thing and somebody else just blitzes you and it's just part of it. But those other things that we can control are kind of where we're going to try to put our concentration.
Yeah, that's great. You just finished your third season at Ball State. And I know you've been coaching prior to that. What do you think so far in your young coaching career has been the most rewarding moment?
Oh, man. You know, Jasmine winning this spring was really cool. And that one's the most recent. And getting to go to the regional with her down in Lexington was really cool. I think my second to last year at Taylor, my women's team finished national runner up, and that team, you know, we'd only that was the seventh year of existence for the program. So, I'll add one more. This one just sticks out in my mind. My first 4-year player on the women's side at Taylor was a young lady named Brittany, and when her freshman year, we didn't beat a single team in a single tournament. And because we're a startup program, you know, I literally went and begged a soccer player and a volleyball player to finish out the team in the spring. And so, and then Brittany's senior year, we had a solid team, but we didn't have high expectations. And we went to the conference championship. It was horrible weather. It was just crazy and nasty. And we were pretty far back going into the final round, and we came back in the final round and actually won. But Brittany didn't know what was going on, and she actually had a pretty bad day. She was our drop scorer in the final round, and she had her whole family there. And I mean, aunts and uncles, there were literally like 20 people because this is going to be her last college round. And so she puts out on 18. I'm there. She comes over. She gives me a hug, and the tears are just flowing. And, you know, she's like, "Coach, thank you so much." And I grabbed her by the shoulders and I said, "Brittany, this is not your last round. We're going to the national championship." And she just like, it was like shock. She's like, "I can't believe it." And so I'm getting goosebumps just telling that story.
Yeah, me too. And I don't even know her.
It was such a cool moment to see, just think about like the 4 years, and she poured into the program, even though there was not much there to pour into when she got there, and to see it pay off like that for her was just so cool. So those are some of the highlights for me. And yeah, that's been fun. I had, I'll tell one more cause I'm going down memory lane here.
But I like it.
One of the players that I recruited at Taylor, on the men's side, he was inducted into the Taylor Athletics Hall of Fame this fall. And so I got to go back and introduce him at the Hall of Fame ceremony, which was really cool. But we were reminiscing, and it was funny, we both told the same story in my introduction, and then in his speech. The first time I saw him play was in the high school regional. And after the round, I was like enamored. This kid hit it a mile. And I said, "Hey, man, come to Taylor. You're going to be a star at Taylor." Yeah. And that stuck with him. And so he was like, "Coach, you were right. Like you called it." And I said, "Well, that was a lucky guess, although you're really good." So that was so I love that sort of stuff. And, you know, those are the fun moments.
That's awesome. And I think as a college golf coach, at the end of the day, you just want kid who has graduated to be able to call you 5 years down the road and say, "Hey coach, how you doing? I'm coming through town. Would love to have dinner with you." I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than maintaining those relationships. And you know, I'm lucky that all of the girls that played for me still reach out, whether they're in Korea or Australia, or, I mean, they're all over the world now. And we can see them be successful young adults. And I think it's, you know, one of the best parts of coaching.
I love that. Love that stuff. I was driving back from, it was actually a tournament at Georgia State this spring. And we were driving back and we were getting ready to stop for dinner. And I missed a FaceTime call from one of my former players. And one of the girls was like, who is that? And so I was like, yeah, she played for me. I said that this is one of two things. She's either pregnant.
Yeah.
Or she's hanging out with some of her teammates.
And yes.
So I was kind of hoping she was pregnant because she married one of my men's players. And I was like, okay, I'll start recruiting that kid right now, you know.
Yes. But, put him on the list for 2045 or whatever.
Exactly. Instead, I called her back and she was sitting there with five of her teammates. So there were six of them. And they were like, Coach, we just wanted to reminisce with you. And so I sat in the Steak and Shake and like chit-chatted with them for 30 minutes. And that just does my heart so much good to see those kids being successful now and know that, you know, I got to play a small role in that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so rewarding. And I think that's the part that maybe when you're going through the process as a student athlete, you're not able to put yourself down the line in 5-10 years and think, oh my gosh, we're, you know, hopefully all going to be best buds. And, It's the good stuff. So back to Ball State, and to wrap this all up, I know you just finished your third year, but you know, from the success you've had so far there, where do you see the program being in the next 3 to 5 years? What are your goals for the program, whether it's, you know, results based or the people you bring in? How do you see the program kind of rolling?
Yeah, well, some of the goals are definitely results based. You know, we got to get the right people here and help them develop, do all those things. But, you know, Kent State has owned the MAC forever. They won 26 championships in a row. I really want to dethrone them. And I tell Casey over there, I really want to hate your program, but I just have too much respect and you're too good at what you do and too humble. So, but I think we can compete with them. And, you know, the landscape's changing. There's, you know, Eastern Michigan's kind of doing crazy stuff in our conference right now. And so it's not going to get any easier to compete for a MAC championship, but that's one of our goals. You know, and I think we're really working to continue to elevate our schedule and play really good competition. You know, I know that our players are coming here. They want to compete against the best that they can compete against. And it's okay if we go get thumped every now and then in a really good field. That's going to be a really good experience for us, and we're going to grow from it. And so we're trying to do that. I really want to recruit Indiana and Midwest kids, not exclusively. Like we'll take kids from anywhere, all over the world. But, you know, it's a lot of fun whenever there's similar backgrounds and we can have families that, you know, come to tournaments and travel along with us. And so, you know, we've got some Ohio and Indiana girls that are committed right now, and I'm excited about that. I think that's going to make things a lot of fun moving forward. And, you know, I think from a university perspective, we're in a really good position. And as the landscape changes, we're going to continue to try to be creative about how we do this thing and how we bring in players, the right kids, and help them develop. And if we do that, you know, it's going to be worthwhile, and hopefully we have some success, win some trophies along the way too.
Absolutely. And I know that's obvious, like you said, the goal, but that's the journey along the way too. And I can't wait to follow, especially after meeting you officially, and I'll be pulling for Ball State and keep in touch with you. But Cam, I really appreciate your time this morning and wish you the best of luck this summer on the recruiting trail, and fall will be here before you know it. So all the girls will be back on campus soon.
That's right. Well, thanks, Lauren. I love what From the Cart Path is doing, and you know, you and Trent, I think it's great stuff and really good for our kids in Indiana to get exposure, and also just to be able to hear from coaches and players and different perspectives. I think it's great stuff. So much appreciation for what y'all are doing.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Thanks, Lauren. All right. See you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of From the Cart Path with your host, Trent Roberts. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.